Congressman Chris Gibson, we have just been treated to 3 days of hearings on the Affordable Care Act. Some people call it Obamacare before the Supreme Court of the United States. What do you walk away from after having heard of all of that?
Well, I think you get the same sense that where we were 2 years ago, a nation very divided on an issue. And you see that coming out with the judges as well. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know how the court is going to come down on this. You certainly hear pundits giving their best analysis. But here's the thing, is that we should be prepared in the Congress to take action regardless of which way they go. Because one thing I think everybody agrees upon is that the current system is not optimized. There is more that we can do. I have been an advocate for the market-oriented approaches to the insurance industry, having access to insurance across state lines, removing the antitrust provision that insurance companies have right now so that we can have more competition. Been an advocate for medical malpractice or tort reform, which right now is artificially driving up costs. In fact, we know states that have implemented that have actually driven down or controlled costs, in some cases driven down costs in that particular area. And they're seeing increases in doctors because they enjoy serving in that kind of environment. Now, we passed in the House a bill that was based on the California version of tort reform. So, you know, and then let me say this on the third portion of this.
Sorry, Chris, but that California version was on tort reform?
Yeah, it caps the punitive damages at $250,000, and there's no cap on the economic damages. Mm-hmm. Because if you can prove economic damages, they shouldn't be capped.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, that's part of what we're going to need to do going forward. And that was from California, a state that, you know, certainly has representation from both political parties. One could argue more representation from the Democratic Party. But the point is that and let me make a third point, and I'll double back on the bipartisan piece of this. But when you talk about the kind of reform that we need, the other dimension is that there are actually some very exciting pilot projects going on in our country, including right here in our area. We have the Medical Home Project going on. We've got the Adirondack Medical Center involved. We've got Hudson Headwaters involved. And what this, among the many goals that this project has, is trying to address the rising healthcare costs due to readmission to hospitals, and in many cases, readmission to ERs, which we know is very expensive. And so what the Medical Home Project is intending to do is actually invest a little bit of money on the front end for more attention and demonstration of competency on, for example, prescription drugs taking before the patient is released. And then you'll see nurses go to the home, actually in the first couple days after they get released, to watch them take their medicine, to take their vitals, to make sure that their recovery is on target. Now, on the front end, that's a little bit more expenditure. But in the first year, a little over a year now, they've actually cut readmission rates in half. So that's got to be part of our future, too. And then also, too, look, I've talked to a number of folks about the accountable care approaches, and just talked to an expert in Greene County you know, with regard to urgent care. We've got to transform the way that we reimburse. Right now, you know, one example is I talked to a doctor who was, you know, doing an understudy with another doctor in New York City, and, you know, watched the doctor actually put a second stitch in a guy's arm. And my friend, who's not, you know, he tends not to buck the system too much, he just sort of noticed it, didn't understand it, didn't agree with it, didn't say anything. Later in the day, the doctor said to him, "You were wondering why I put a second stitch in that arm, weren't you?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, I really was." And he said, "I get to bill twice as much by doing that."
Wow.
That's a problem. So, I mean, this was part of the bipartisan budget, too, by the way, is trying to transform the way that we bill to move to more to a quality outcome instead of a quantity. That's easier said than done. Let me just say that right up front. I'm not sitting here going to promise you some panacea. That is going to be hard work, and it most certainly is going to take the best effort of both parties. Anytime that we've ever had a successful transformation of a major program in our country, both parties have been involved. Ronald Reagan was part of leadership that worked with Tip O'Neill Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and they made sure that they strengthened our program for seniors, Social Security, for example, in 1983. So this is going to have to happen. We're going to have to get beyond where, you know, somebody with a red jersey, somebody with a blue jersey, and they go to their corners and just bark at each other and think they're going to win an election over it. This is a first step, this bipartisan budget, 38 souls from both parties coming together and voting for a way forward. And I want to see more of it.
And yet, Chris Gibson, we take a look at this fight over health politics, and we do come up with the fact that one of the fundamentals is that you mentioned the word market. Market means let the insurance companies duke it out with each other. And yet there are those who would claim to you that if you take something like Medicare and it has a much better redemption rate, it doesn't cost as much to administer. But I know where you are on this. You believe in markets.
Well, look, I mean, there's a number of issues right now, and I just took more testimony on this in Gallatin last week. I was talking to some seniors who gave me some specific examples of fraud, waste, and abuse we're having in the current system. The current system we have, if you have a tax ID, you can send in a bill, and we have a very difficult time providing the supervision for that. On Medicare, you know, we see rising costs every year of 6 to 7%. It's between 6 and 7%. And as I look at the program, my mom, she's going to be 75 this year, and I hope that she lives a long life. We lost my dad a few years ago. We're prayerful that my mom will be with us for a long time. The nonpartisan actuaries, those that we count on to give us the analysis of the Medicare program, tell us that the hospitalization portion of the program is going to be broke in 2013. I can't imagine where we're going to be if we don't have a hospitalization dimension to the Medicare program. And I want to say this again, that if Congress takes no action, we're going to lose the program. Congress has to act to save the program. And this is where we've got to come together. And you listen to Bill Clinton, and he'll tell you that. You can certainly listen to Senator Lieberman, former Democrat, now an independent. He said the same in an op-ed piece. And so right now, all the talk on Medicare is all about elections. It's all about electoral politics. And yet, if we do nothing in 2013, we're going to lose the program. And I'm telling you, as a guy that's going to come and go, I've term limited myself. I'm not going to serve more than 8 years. This is an issue that's going to be with us. If we don't come together and solve it, we're going to lose a vital program that Americans have come to count on.
So if you had a crystal ball, where does this all come out?
Well, I mean, part of it is again, both parties need to stop, electioneering. We need to actually sit down and work on it. The bipartisan budget has some ideas. One of them I just mentioned moments ago, which is trying to transform the system we have now that pays you for your quantity and for your motion, but not for your movement. Trying to come up with a system that reinforces quality, the accountable care approach. Yeah, part of it is more using discount drugs. This is an idea that Democrats, certainly champion, and I agree with. That's also in the bipartisan budget. So, and to the degree that there's efficacy in this transformation from quantity to quality, it should address the fraud, waste, and abuse issue as well. But I'll tell you this, one party is not going to be able to fix this. I mean, really, look at where we are today because of the healthcare bill in 2010. I wish it weren't so, but it's a very cynical and skeptical America right now. And the same goes for the healthcare bill of 2010 because of what's in it and because of how it was done. So both parties are going to have to commit to actually preserving the program. The bipartisan budget is a good place to start.
Good luck to you, Chris Gibson. It must be fun running for Congress.
You know, it's an honor to serve. Mostly this job is very intrinsically rewarding. At times it's frustrating. But when you actually, break through and help a senior or you help a veteran like Joe Wilkinson, who we're going to do a benefit for with Gary Sinise, the Lieutenant Dan Vann on the 28th of April at the Armory, right there in Albany. Please come out and support it. But, we helped him last year get 100% disability rating. And so moments like that I cherish because certainly after defending our country and going into battle for us, we needed to go into battle for him. And the country stood by and did the right thing there. So it was an honor to be part of that. Thank you, Alan. Best wishes to all the listeners out there. And I hope to see you as I move all about.
And to you, Chris.
God bless.